This episode is sponsored by Coach's Bottle Shop and Grill. They got the beer, they got the wings, and trust me, my friends, the pub pretzels and the beer cheese dip off the chain. Go to Coach's Bottle Shop and Grill.
Okay, man, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Now, come on, now crank this motherfucker up.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Just a Couple Kids Podcast with Tony Griffith and Ryan Herbenko. Come and get it! Boom!
We made it back safe and sound. It was a long trip.
A fun trip.
We didn't kill each other, which is good.
Yeah.
But it went well. So
I think so.
We're back in the 412. It is the best podcast out there that talks about politics in Pittsburgh. I am the favorite son of the 19th Ward. Mr. Tony Griffith, along with my co-host and partner in crime.
The pride of the 31st Ward, the Prince of McBride, the Admiral of Antarctic Way, the Sultan of Sungalow Street, the Baba Ganoush of Beachland, and the newest moniker, Papa C.
Papa C.
Which you will get a background story on that in the next couple moments.
Papa C. I like some other monikers better than Papa C, but
the story behind Papa C, though.
Once people hear it, they'll understand.
Can I stop and point out the fact that the shirt you're wearing this morning?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I mean, there is what looks like a crown on the front, and what is that?
The Liberty Tunnels.
That is not the Liberty Tunnels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a simplified version of the Liberty Tunnels.
Okay. All right. That's the front of it. What's on the back? Oh, for God's sake. King of the South, justacouplekids.com. Is that going to be on the website?
Damn right. Long sleeves coming in hot.
Is that going to be hot. Another hot purchase with Bridging the Gap sweatpants?
I don't know. I think this one will sell.
I don't know.
I hope it will.
I don't know. Wait till they come out with the 31st Ward line. That's going to be it.
There's no demographic there. There's not enough people that are going to.
Lara's going to buy 40 of them.
Yeah, right. She doesn't like you that much. So let's talk about our little trip into the Caribbean. Some people call it the Caribbean.
You call it the Caribbean.
It was
a fun time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Ryan, I didn't see Ryan, I don't want to say most of the trip, but a lot of the trip. Ryan kind of just does his own thing, bouncing around from buffet to buffet.
From bar to bar.
From gym to gym, from bar spa to spa, to just everywhere. I mean, he was on his own. He was like a man on a mission every day, trying to work on his tan, even though I'm just as tan. And actually, it's getting better. It's not as burnt as it was, but it's still not the golden brown that you were hoping for.
It is.
No, it's not. I tanned for 2 days, like actually tried. Ryan tried the entire trip, and I'm just as tanned as him. So
lies upon lies.
It's those Italian roots I got, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, but a fun trip.
Yeah, super fun trip.
You know, despite the rumors out there that we're a couple because of the inordinate amount of time we spend together.
And I mean, I could see why people say that.
To
each their own.
Yeah, I mean, our travel agent sure as hell thought so.
I think a lot more people than just her thought so.
Right, right.
But yeah, she definitely thought so because of the whole room situation, which we did get figured out.
We did.
Amongst all the other mishaps that occurred throughout. I jumped off a cliff, literally.
Yeah.
And lost my Apple Watch in the process, which kind of stunk. Ryan jumped off a cliff as well.
I did.
A much, much smaller.
Come on, not that much smaller.
We'll post videos of both of us jumping, and you guys can be the judge of who's an actual man. Even though I did try to hold my nose, but that was only because the girl before me was like, it fired up my nose. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And I tried to do that, and my hip actually still hurts from hitting the water the way I did.
Yeah. See, but I mean, you said afterwards that you would have just stuck with the one that I went off of, despite the rush. Just like
it was just hit. It was just to prove that I'm the alpha on this show, I had to go one step above you. And, you know. But I do give you props because Ryan's not a big fan of heights.
There's two things I'm afraid of. Like
me?
Yeah, right. drops, as in, like, you know, roller coaster drops, you know, coming off that hill or, like,
I hate jumping roller off coasters as well.
Yeah, so jumping off something like that. So it's not necessarily a fear of heights.
Right.
But it's the falling part.
Right, right.
And cockroaches. The two things I'm afraid of in life.
Cockroaches. It's weird because there was a cockroach in my room. On vacation. Honestly, I don't think it was in the room. It's not like this was a dirty place or anything like that. Right. I think I left my door open.
You did.
And he snuck in.
Yeah. So for me, jumping off this platform, jumping off this cliff, was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know,
it took a little coaxing, but it worked.
And it took, you know, a 14-year-old girl jumping off the highest one for me to go, wow.
Yeah.
Man, like, I got a man up.
Not only that, there was a 7-year-old girl that jumped off the same one Ryan did about 15 times. And Ryan's just sitting there like, dude, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I could see that, you know, it was something that he didn't really mess with. So I try not to, like, push you too far. But I tried to, like,
As you told me, like, you had the same thing the year before.
Right.
Like, on that same platform. It was like, holy shit.
Well, you didn't even get up on the platform. You just jumped off the base. You missed out on an extra 3 feet.
Still, it's still jumping is jumping.
You did it.
Jumping is jumping. But, you know, so we did that. That was Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, and so what? We recorded that Wednesday, right? Or did we record Tuesday?
We recorded Tuesday, yeah. Okay. We recorded Tuesday morning because it went out on Tuesday. Mom and Dad had our little fight, and
we reconciled.
It wasn't really a fight so much as I couldn't speak to Ryan because I was so upset with all the things that happened, so I figured it would be better off that I just didn't say anything at all. And actually, the first night that we were there, I had such a headache from, like, the stress and everything that I just went to my bed, went to sleep, called it a night because I was like, if I stay up any longer, more bad things can happen to me.
Yeah.
So just went to bed.
This is going to lead into the Papa C story.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that night that you decided to just go radio silent, dead to the world, like,
AWOL.
Listeners, I must have called him 4 times, knocked on the door 6 times, multiple texts. He was dead to
the world. You couldn't have called me because your phone service down there was even worse than it is up here.
I beg to differ. I made multiple calls.
How did those how'd those messages come through, those text messages?
See,
he had to download every text message in group chats, every one, because he still has this stupid phone. If the listeners don't get on him about getting an iPhone, I mean, there's going to be a serious problem.
The iPhone 13 just released. Relax.
Okay, well, mine's pre-ordered, and I'm picking it up on Friday. Where's yours?
Well, let's also paint the picture of it's a beautiful sunny day in Jamaica. I'm in the pool bar. I'm at the pool bar. I look over, and there's Tony underneath an umbrella watching an hour and a half of the Apple unveiling.
The keynotes, and it was awesome. And
who does that in paradise?
I was still catching rays, bro.
No, you weren't. You were underneath an umbrella.
I was catching rays.
You had a towel over your head so you could get better focus on that.
I couldn't see with the reflection.
Okay.
So I was checking out babes. I was trying to see if I needed to pull out the camera to take any videos of you doing anything stupid. So I had my eyes.
I was very cognizant of that.
I know you were. I know you were. You kept looking out of the corner of your eye wherever you were, just making sure.
Exactly.
There was this little.
I didn't get this far based on looks alone, man.
There was this like little wall in the midst of the pool that gets you from the deep end to the small end, and I was trying to get Ryan to jump over it because he didn't look very athletic when he did it, and he never did it again after the first time because he knew I was going to take video of it, which was probably a good idea on his part.
Right.
But I was trying to get.
But you know what? It's hard to get over that thing unless you go to the one part of the pool where it's shallow.
I beg to differ personally because I just jumped right over it. I almost lost my shorts while doing it. But
yeah, see that night, the day that you were incommunicado.
Yeah,
like. I almost lost my shorts, and then it was like, not doing this again.
Yeah, so
definitely not when I'm in the pool with Tony.
Tell us what you were up to while we were down there.
So that day, you know, I went to the pool. You know, I went to the ocean. I'm bouncing around. I'm drinking. Then I went to the steakhouse, treated myself to a nice little steak dinner, mm-hmm. bottle of wine. And then I just bounced from bar to bar. And
but you ended up at
hold on. Yeah, I'm getting there. I ended up on the beach. And there was some kind of party going on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a distinct minority at this party.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't bother me. I'm dancing around. I'm making friends. And I may have been slightly inebriated at this point. Slightly. Rum punches. They do you in.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Those yeah. things are rough.
Oh, yes, they were. Well, it started the day when we checked in. Mm-hmm. The girl was just...
As soon as you walk in the door, they're yeah. starting to feed you these rum punches.
Right, right. You know, and after traveling, you're already...
Get you all twisted up. Yes. Everybody there is trying to make a buck, which is crazy to see their work ethic. But for everything that you can imagine under the sun, there's a tip involved.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. Oh my God.
So I end up on the beach. And, you know, I'm making friends. I'm dancing. And I'm like, I have the brilliant idea. Hey, let's order 30 shots. Like everybody on the beach.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you know. So I ordered these 30 shots, and the bartender is looking at me wide-eyed, and the waitress, back to the hustle thing, goes, yeah, we can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw down 30 bucks, and...
$1 a shot, look at you, big baller.
Well, in Jamaica, that's big.
Yeah, you know? No, I'm just saying.
I didn't have to pay for those. I mean, it's, you know. So I'm handing out shots, and I should have known by the glint in that waitress's eye there was going to be a problem.
She was after you.
Something clicked. And not in a good way.
So then what happened, Ryan?
So, fast forward to Wednesday evening. After mm-hmm. we come back from Rick's. Which, I'll tell you what. I want to go to Rick's when it's post-COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that looks like...
Yeah, there was... I mean, everywhere in Jamaica you had to wear a mask. Everywhere in Jamaica you hand sanitized 15 times. They were checking your temperature. I mean, they're really on top of things down there, which is understandable because I would say their biggest resource is their tourism.
Right.
So you got to make sure that, you know, it's available for folks. But both times that I've went to Jamaica this year and last year, there hasn't been a ton of folks there just because of, you know, the pandemic.
And I mean, it was glorious.
I mean, it was great to kind of have run of the resort, but...
Yeah, yeah. So, we're at the Infinity Bar overlooking the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me, you, your aunt, and your uncle. And, you know, we're getting... After dinner, we're having a few drinks.
And let me tell you, when the drinks are free, Ryan's buying all night, friends.
Oh, my God. I'm also buying when they're not free. If you would leave good old Brookline and not just to go to Jamaica, you would know this.
Oh gosh.
So, the waitress comes over, and goes, "Hey, I remember you from the beach. Where you been?" And I'm going, "Oh, well, you know, I've been around."
Mind you, this woman's probably 50 years old, I would say.
Yeah.
Middle aged, really nice lady.
Nice lady.
Overwhelmingly nice when Ryan was giving her tips. But Ryan was feeding her tips throughout the vacation.
No. Just one night. It was that night at the beach.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Wednesday you were feeding her again.
Because my drink barely made it past half before she was coming with a fresh drink.
Yeah, she was. I mean,
she was
they
on
were trying
the
to kill us.
Right. So. She and I tipped her, and you know, I'm like, hey, thank you for the service, and I tipped her a 20.
Mm-hmm.
That prompted her to sit down next to me after you and your aunt and uncle left, and tell me about how she's a struggling single mom. And I went, oh well, hey, you know, I certainly can relate to that. You know, I have friends of mine that are
I was
that
gonna
single
say,
mom.
How can you relate to that?
Wait,
you
I'm getting there. You know, I don't interrupt you when you're in story mode.
I just had to clarify that for listeners.
Yeah. So, and I'm like, I can relate. I have friends that are single moms. You know, like, hey, you know, good for you. You know, you're working hard. You know, I could. And she goes, yeah, you know, things are rough with Corona. I'm like, I bet. And she goes, you know, I have a son, you know, now we're, you know, got to do virtual school. And I'm like, oh, that's rough. She goes, yeah, and my son needs a tablet. I'm like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, you know, he needs a tablet.
How many times do you think that she referred to her son and needing a tablet in that in that evening.
At least 7 times. And she goes, are you going to be here long? And I'm going, I'll leave it on Friday. And she goes, oh, okay, well, why don't you take my number? And, you know, you could help. And I'm
you
going,
buy school
help?
Supplies for my children.
Help? Like, what? And I'm going, no, I think I got to go. But, you know, good luck with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she wanted school supplies from Ryan. And Ryan's new handle is Papa C.
Papa Crayola?
Papa, well,
Crayon?
Crayola Poppy? I don't know. We'll think of something that flows the best. But,
okay.
Yeah, Ryan was...
Needless to say, the group chat had a field day with this little story.
Yeah, it sure did. It sure did.
You know,
but, well, let's talk about...
I spent the rest of the trip looking over my shoulder.
Yeah, I can
hoping
imagine.
To God I didn't run into her again.
Well, let's get back into Pittsburgh stuff, what the listeners came here for. And yesterday was... Well, Saturday was the good old fake St. Paddy's Day parade here in the city of Pittsburgh, and I did not attend. I was unable to attend, but Ryan did. So why don't you give us a first-hand recap of what went down on...
Sure. Normally, I march with my boss, Michael Lamb, in the parade in March every year. You know, naturally, we couldn't have it the last 2 years. So
when it's a real parade.
When it's a real parade. And it was weird, man. Like, it was nice to see everybody. It was much more low-key than normal.
Right.
But it was also weird to be doing a parade in September. And it was hot as hell.
Yeah, when I got into town, I didn't see really anybody that was going around or, you know, bouncing around.
No, it wasn't the traditional parade day where you have a ton of people drinking, you know, a lot of vendors around, you know, the streets are lined. You had people out, you know, but it was nowhere near the full force of a March parade.
What about the after party, after parade party? How'd that go?
We watched Guaranteed Irish, Michael's brother Jim, at Fifth Avenue Cafe.
Okay.
And, yeah, just the whole day was a low-key affair.
Was there a lot of people at the bar, or was it just a regular day at the bar?
Yeah, like? it was a regular day at the bar mixed in with some Irish music.
Okay.
You know, I bounced to 2 bars that day, Cafe Fifth and Mitchell's, and both were, I would say, maybe at 25-30% capacity. So, like, nobody was going wild. Like, it wouldn't be like...
So the parade was a bust, basically.
No, see, I disagree. I don't think it was a bust. I think it was good to show that, hey, we could do something.
Well, I looked at it in two respects.
Yeah.
One, I was like, this is just people that want to party, that want to have this party and parade and just get crazy, drunk, and do whatever. On the other end of it, I looked at it like, okay, we need an event to be the event to open the city back up. And I tried to be optimistic about it as that, as like, this is the beta version of the city of Pittsburgh. We're trying to open back up, so we're going to try this. This is going to be the prototype for what is to come out in the future.
And I think that's the correct way to look at it, because you didn't have the let's get ready to stumble type crowd. You had people drinking. You had people hitting bars up, which is normal.
Right.
You know, it's also a college football Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitt's playing.
Pitt was playing, yes.
You know, Pitt was playing at home. So you had that mix, too. So it wasn't all St. Paddy's Day people or halfway to St. Paddy's Day people. But I think you're spot on. You know, this was the beta run, the beta test for the city kind of doing this, you know, opening back up.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important that we try to do things. You know, we're mindful of COVID. You know, there was people that were marching and people on the sidewalks that had masks on.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor-elect, I think we could say mayor-elect, Ed Gainey, was there, fully masked up.
Sick Pirates jersey.
Sick Pirates jersey, yeah. He was actually marching with my boss, Michael Lamb.
Nice.
In a nice show of solidarity with two branches of city government that often fight.
Well, it's always good to be friends with the controller.
Exactly.
It's always
a good thing.
Whether it's the county controller or the city controller, it's good to be friends with them since they're the ones that are
auditing you. And,
right.
And often they have a behind the scenes look into how government operates and how government is funding. So, you know, if you're somebody like Ed who's coming from the state you know, diving deep into city finances and politics, you want to go to the controller. You know?
Yeah, it's definitely a big change financially for
100%
Ed or anybody else that's moving
in
that capacity.
I think really this parade was a good thing for the city. I don't think we're going to see massive COVID numbers come out of this parade because it wasn't a huge, like,
but that's the other end of things. It's like, it's this group of folks that just wanted to have a party. And I can't get that out of my mind that it's just like people wanted to have this party that was kind of pointless in the respect that Patty's Day is, you know, in 6 months we're going to have this again.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the real thing. So there was really no reason to have this, especially considering the amount of people that went out for it and a lot of people that are normal regulars at the St. Patrick's Day parade either didn't care, didn't know, didn't want to be involved. You know what I mean? So it was just...
Yeah. No, I understand. I like, my family wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I've alluded to this multiple times. St. Patrick's Day is big in my family. You know, we do have some Irish lineage. But I have family that comes in from all parts of the country. And that's a family day for us. You know, we start drinking in the morning, we go to lunch, we go to dinner, we do something the night before, we do something the day after. So it's a whole weekend for us.
Right.
So none of my family, with the exception of my aunt, because her niece was marching, were there. So it did have a different vibe. But I think we need to focus on this was a good baited run for the city.
Right.
You know, if we're able to handle this,
I'm hoping that that's more or less what it was. I just, like I said, I can't get it out of my mind that it's just people that wanted to have a party just to do party stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
Now, on the other end of things going on here in Pittsburgh, obviously we have the elections coming up here shortly.
It's coming down to the wire.
Yeah, it really is. And the one thing we really haven't talked about was the Republican side of the judicial.
Right.
We've spent countless episodes going over the D's, but...
And you're welcome for that, listeners.
We haven't really talked about the R's so much. So,
guess we got to, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we delve into that? Because, like we said...
Well, I want to make a distinction.
Those 10 spots are not a lock for Democrats by any means.
Right. Well, I want to make a distinction for those listeners that don't really understand. Judges in Allegheny County can cross-file.
Right.
Which means you can file as a Democrat.
I think we chatted about this on the podcast.
Yeah, but I wanted to remind the listeners a little bit. They don't have that good memory like you do that doesn't let me forget a mistake that I made back in February.
Mm-hmm.
So judges in Allegheny County, along with several other offices like sheriff and school board, can cross-file, meaning that you could be on the Democratic side and you could be on the Republican side. And this is the case with a lot of the judicials this cycle.
Right.
So the Republicans, they had their 10.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans had their opportunity to, in the primary, nominate their 9. You know, and some of our Democratic nominees also got the Republican nod, which means they hustled and got Republican signatures, and they also hustled and solicited Republican votes. So,
who all got it?
That got both sides.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be Lisa Middleman.
Okay.
Sabrina Corbell.
Yep.
Bruce Beamer. All got the Democratic nominee and the Republican. So those three, they're getting in regardless.
Right.
Because they're on both sides of the ballot. You know, they're getting
not regardless, but. Most likely,
I mean, nothing's for sure, but pretty good. I mean, in gambling terms, this is as close to a 5-star play as you're going to get.
Right.
That leaves, on the Republican side, 7 people, because they nominated, much like the Democrats did with Tom Caulfield, they nominated Richard Hosking.
Okay.
Former partner K&L Gates. I don't know much about him, despite being in the same field as he is. I've never really heard about him.
Just haven't run across him, though.
Haven't run across him. First time I ever heard of him was when I saw his signs pop up randomly.
Right.
I mean, his sign guy must have been the most creative guy in the world, because I was seeing them everywhere. top of mountains, you know, on the side of some random roads. Like, it was weird because he was popping up in weird places. Yeah. Popping up in Whittaker.
Oh, wow. Don't even know where Whittaker is.
You'd have to cross a river.
Yeah.
Two, actually.
Well, God bless the folks that do that, because I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes the king has to leave its borders, you know, like a peace mission, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Not like you're going to invade anybody. You sure as hell not going to invade 31. I mean,
No.
You don't want that smoke.
No, I do not want to be anywhere near 31.
So that leaves us with six on the Republican side that we should probably talk a little bit about.
Yeah, let's get into these folks so people know who they are and have a better idea on who they're voting for here in the fall.
Right. So let's start Billy Kye.
Brookline native, now living out in South Fayette area.
Right. So I'm going to rattle them off, and then we'll come back and talk about each one.
Okay.
So we have Billy Kye. We have Anthony DeLuca. Not to be confused with the DeLucas from Penn Hills.
As we know from his commercials that he is a big-time yinzer with all the different DeLucas yes. throughout the city.
And low-key solid beard game.
Yeah, he does have a decent beard.
I mean, not...
Not
like
Pisitano.
No,
nobody's messing with him.
He's unrivaled. We have Joseph Patrick Murphy, which I'm going to get into some wonderful detail later. Dan Konechka.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Porter, and Mark Patrick Flaherty.
Okay.
And also Richard Hosking, which we alluded to already. So let's start with Billy Kye. I mean, Billy Kye is no stranger to the voters in Allegheny County and the state. If you've had an event in the last 6 years, whether it be a polar bear plunge.
10 years.
15, 20 years.
Forever. He's at everything.
So, I mean, if you had an event ranging from a polar bear plunge to a bar mitzvah, Billy was there and mingling with the crowd.
I was just going to say, saying hello to each and every person there.
You know, we've been critical of Billy on this show.
I have not been critical of Billy.
Well, let's be clear. Our guests have been critical of Billy.
I think that's better.
You know, and you and I have expressed, as friends of Billy, some disappointment with some choices and hope that he would pivot. I think that's the fair way to talk about it.
Yeah, I just don't think that we have the same ideology completely, but I think that he is one of the hardest working candidates out there. And
that's something you can't knock about Billy.
You can't knock his hustle.
Right. We may disagree, we may have different views, but hard work is hard work.
Right.
To that end, Billy worked hard to get the Democratic endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
He worked his tail off getting the Labor Council endorsement.
Yes, he did.
And his hustle got him recommended by the Bar Association.
Yep.
And also the Republican nod.
Right.
So if you're looking at this field, Billy Kye is a dark horse.
I would not even say dark horse, to be honest with you. I think Billy Kye has every opportunity for one of those last three spots.
Yeah.
As the Democratic nominees do, just because of name recognition. Where he's located in the county, as far as that south, nobody else is going to get any votes out of South Fayette except for him.
Yeah, and that's a fast-growing area too.
If he can build up what is going on in the Brookline area, being that he grew up here, I think that would be super helpful as well.
Was he the favorite son before you were the favorite son?
The Kye family is legendary here in Brookline. Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
So I would have to say that Billy is not a dark horse. I would say he is a contender. Mm-hmm.
Remember that series?
No.
On ESPN with Oscar De La Hoya and Sugar Ray?
Never saw it.
Okay. Anyways, we'll move on to Anthony DeLuca.
Yes. So Anthony is, we didn't talk about Billy as far as his schooling and everything like that. Duquesne alumni.
I don't think we need
worked
to.
Worked at the AGs, ADAs, private practice.
The listeners are familiar with Billy.
Well, I just wanted to make sure. Anthony now, on the other hand, Anthony DeLuca, Pitt Law, ADA, private practice. Where's Anthony from? What area?
I believe he's from Mont Lebo.
Okay.
Let me double check that, but I believe he is from Mont Lebo. No, I'm sorry. They currently live in Lebo, but he is actually a Allegheny Valley boy.
Okay.
He's originally from, you know, the Aspinwall-Sharpsburg corridor.
Gotcha.
But he's a very diverse practice. Criminal law, labor attorney, which I think is going to be key for him getting some of those votes. And most importantly, highly recommended by the Bar Association.
Yeah. Yeah, with, that's not easy to do.
No, it's not. With a diverse practice, like I said, that involves civil matters, criminal, and labor. Coming from an attorney, you don't really go through all those different areas.
Right.
We tend to specialize. You know, when we've had our other judicial candidates, you know, somebody like our favorite, Nicola Henry Taylor, she does a lot of family law.
Right.
You know, you have somebody like Jessel that has done the bulk of his work in criminal law.
Right.
You know, or you have Elliot Housie, who's coming from the DA background in public defender, or Tiffany Sizemore. But somebody like Anthony, who has a wide breadth of practice.
Right.
That's something that is you want to see in a judge.
Right. You know? Now, I think that he would be more on the dark horse aspect of things. I think what's going to help him most is the name recognition as far as the DeLuca name. But I just don't see Anthony as a real hard contender for those last three spots.
Right. I think he's going to get some votes on the Italian side with that DeLuca name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, when you have a lot of candidates on the ballot, people look and see, oh, Murphy, Irish guy.
Right.
Or DeLuca. Italian guy, you know, so I think that's something that will get him some votes.
And I mean, he had 33,000 votes on the Democratic side, you know, finishing in the top 15, so he wasn't like completely out of the question on that side. And then obviously on the Republican side, he finished third. So, you know, he has the votes. Just, you know, like I said, I think that as far as work is concerned, I would put Bill Kai ahead of him in the right. contenders.
You know, and I'm going to be honest, in the primary, as I was in my brief stint helping out and getting the endorsement stuff ready,
mm-hmm.
I thought we were talking about the DeLucas and Penn Hills.
Yeah.
I'm a fairly plugged-in guy.
Yeah. I mean, his commercials were great.
Yeah, they were. Very Yinzer-ish.
Yeah, he did a hard late push.
He did.
Which seemed to work for him. Like I said, he finished top 15, top three.
Let me ask you, what is your take on, are you more of a slow, steady build, like a slow burn, or do you like that late push, like, to the wall? You know what I mean?
I think I'm more of a slow, steady kind of person.
I agree.
I think if you look at the candidates that finished rather well. I mean, outside of Tiffany Sizemore, the top nine, actually. Well, no, Jessel kind of pushed harder towards the end, too. I would say, you know, Wagner, Corbell, Watson, Middleman, Henry Taylor, Housie, Beamer all had that slow steady, and I think that's what really did well. Whereas you see some of the other folks down the list that kind of pushed late or came with, like, a big, like, we're going to spend all our money right now on, you know, yard signs, or we're going to spend all our money right now on a commercial.
Yeah.
And it gets you, like, a pop, but it doesn't last. And as we know with elections, I mean, there's plenty of times where folks will be favorable at one point, and then, you know, months later.
So are you saying voters are fickle?
Very. Very. So, yeah, that's what I think about Anthony.
So, let's go to our next person.
And this would be the golden boy of the Republican Party, would you not say?
I got a lot of things to say about him.
Okay, yeah, Joseph Patrick Murphy, 20 years experience, private practice. He led the Republicans in votes with 26,000, and I don't even know where he finished on the Democratic side, probably at the bottom, yeah, near the bottom. But what's your beef with JPM?
So, as the listeners know, I do a little gambling here and there. A couple wagers. And I listen to a particular podcast that will occasionally get a little vulgar, and sorry, Laura, for this, close your ears, that will refer to idiots as slapdicks.
Mm.
This is the definition of one right now.
Okay. What's your explanation for that?
And it concerns what happened yesterday at the parade.
Okay.
During the parade, you had all types of candidates walking. You had Ed Gainey walking. You had Tamika Lane had a banner. You had Lucas and Elliot in the car, you know, waving to people. They were out there. And that's fine. They should be. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But Chelsea Wagner was there. Nicole and Chelsea in the car. Joseph Patrick Murphy decides to post on his social media a picture of him at the parade, photoshopped.
So he wasn't at the parade?
I'm not sure if he was or he wasn't at the parade, but he photoshopped his logo on Controller Wagner's car and posted it on Facebook. Like, how dumb can you be? And the controller was in the damn picture.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best route to go with social media photoshopping.
You know, now whether it was a staffer that did this...
I mean, I would imagine it was a staffer that handled it.
But at the end of the day, where does the buck stop with the candidate? The candidate has full responsibility for what happens on his or her campaign.
Right.
This is just amateur hour at its finest. And you, like, I'm at a loss for, like, what? The controller's in the picture, for God's sake. It's her car.
Yeah. Where was this posted at?
It was on his Facebook page. It's been since taken down.
Okay.
Because of some outrage.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's unprofessional by him. That's stupid. It's low-hanging fruit.
Well, again, we're not sure who it was that did it, if it was a staffer.
I don't care who did it.
Right.
It's a bad look for him.
Oh, I don't disagree that it's a bad look for him. I'm just saying... I don't want to be completely critical of him personally for the simple fact that it might not have been him.
I'll be critical of him personally. I have zero complaints being critical of him personally.
Right. No, I get it. Because
you should be taking full responsibility of your campaign.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, when it comes down to it, he's the candidate, so.
Yeah. You know, and then there was rumors that there was a party crashed, an ancient order of the Hibernians party that was crashed by him, and he posted about that as well. You know, these just seem like staged, performative things that...
He is the king of the selfie, I will tell you that, as far as his social media is concerned. There's no doubt about that. He is...
Yeah, that king of the selfie got him a not recommended at this time. So I'm going to move the hell on from him. Let's move on. Who's next, man?
We got Dan Konechka, grad of Pitt, former ADA, U.S. Special Assistant Attorney.
I'll tell you what,
private practice and magistrate out in the Shaler area.
I'll tell you what, Dan is one of my favorite candidates overall.
Yeah.
You know, I think we remember us talking. I said Dan was a dark horse to get the endorsement vote. Dan is, like you said, he was an assistant district attorney. He has a wealth of experience.
Finished fourth on the Republican side. And I'll be honest with you, I expected more from Dan in the primary.
Yeah, so did I.
I don't know if it was his team or what it was, but I expected a lot more from Dan. I think that his resume is pretty good. And I don't even want to say pretty good. It's damn good. It's just I don't know what happened there.
And I'll tell you what, there is a history in Allegheny County of voters electing magistrates as judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw it a couple years ago with Hugh McGuff, who was the magistrate out in, oh man, wait, where was he? I believe in the Squirrel Hill area. Squirrel Hill area. So we have a history of that. And I think magistrates, the experience they get handling a wide variety of cases, you know, because they're the front line.
And you really get to meet the community that you serve at that magistrate level.
Exactly. You know, you have it with Tom Caulfield, who's the magistrate out in Forest Hills, who is running on the Democratic side. You have Dan Konechka, who's the magistrate out in Shaler.
Right.
You know, and he did a really innovative thing where he has night court.
Right.
for those working families.
Right.
For those
Mayor Rutsky spoke about this in his episode.
Exactly. So I love Dan's story. I love Dan's background. Hardworking guy. I believe married a Greenfield girl.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mrs. Konechko. Dan won the sign wars.
Yeah.
And she reached out to us a couple times.
And
thanked
us. And we dropped the ball multiple times in getting her the shirts.
She thanked us for sending out the shirts to Dan, who won the sign wars. So, wonderful family.
And really, if I'm... I like Dan's background. I like the way Dan approaches this. I like the way he runs his magisterial district. Boy, I struggled with that one. I think he'd be a great addition to the bench, mm-hmm. in addition to being highly recommended by the Bar Association, which is no easy task. And he's doing the job right now. He's doing the job of a judge right now.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of Dan Konechko. I wish he would have done better on the Democratic side.
Yeah, he finished 21st, yeah. Which is not anywhere near the top. But he also followed both Anthony and Bill Kye on the Democratic side, whereas on the Republican side, he finished 4th in between Anthony and Bill.
And I think he has a better base.
Yeah, I think I'd still put Kye above Konechko, barely.
Mm-hmm.
But I put them both above DeLuca, even though DeLuca pulled in the most votes, not by a significant amount, a couple hundred on Konechko and about 1,200 on Kye. Who's next?
I believe it's Chuck Porter.
Chucky Porter. So he's Duquesne alum, ADA, Shaler area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on in that Shaler area. Dan Kay is from the Shaler area as well, so a lot of votes are being, I don't want to say split up, but you have to consider who's your hometown folks.
Yeah,
who's
the hometown guy.
Right. Now,
it's not like you in Brookline.
You can vote for more than one, but when you're pulling your base from the same area...
You can't plunk.
Right. It's difficult. Like we said with Bill Kye, he's got South Fayette on lockdown.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you're fighting for votes in one area of town, it's a little bit more difficult to get those all in. If you're the only guy, you know, you're definitely... I shouldn't say you're definitely, but most likely you're getting that vote.
Yeah, and I agree. But Chuck is a Shaler guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been there for a long time, lives there with his whole family, kids are there, everybody's there, and I'm going to be honest, I've heard about Chuck for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in that he's a very good trial attorney, well-respected, super lawyer, but it was all just in like, yeah, I know that guy,
or, right?
Yeah, I've heard of that guy, and... That's really been the case with his whole campaign. Like, he's just been there.
I don't think he has enough oomph to,
I would
to
agree
be in
with
there.
That.
I mean, he finished 25th behind all the aforementioned folks besides Joseph Patrick Murphy.
And look, Tom, excellent trial attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get named to best lawyers in America and super lawyers if you're a schmuck.
Right.
You know, it's you know, significant. You know, he's been there for a number of years, multiple years, almost 15 years as one of the best trial lawyers.
Right.
You know, so, but I agree with you. There's not a lot of oomph
with
his campaign.
Yeah, he needs more. The team needs to do more to really get him out there. You know, it's right now it's kind of like a swing and a miss.
And they very may well have gotten him out there, just we're not seeing it.
Right.
You know, maybe they're moving a little more into... true red Republican circles.
Right, right. Well,
but,
I mean, I think that the southern Pittsburgh neighborhoods are kind of a toss-up for folks. You know, Tony Moreno did well in
mm-hmm.
the South Pittsburgh area. So to say that this is not a fruitful area for Republicans, I would say, is not exactly...
But we've touched on this on multiple episodes. You know, there's a lot of good lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
In this crop.
Right.
You have to find a way to stand out.
Right.
And I'm not sure, Chuck being an excellent trial lawyer, you know, somebody that's worked across multiple platforms in the legal system from, you know, ADA, in Commonwealth Court, you know, all this stuff. You have to find a way. Where's your niche? Where's your audience? How are you wedging through, to use the football example? How are you creating that wedge to get through?
Yeah,
I'm just not sure Chuck has that. You know?
I wholeheartedly agree with you that he doesn't have that ism. You know what I mean?
Right.
He doesn't have that,
you know, whereas,
thing about him.
Like, for example, you know, we know the Queen, she has this career in public service that she could hang the crown on.
Not only that, but like when Chelsea enters the room, there's something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different, and I just don't see Chuck getting over the top. But
yeah, but I mean, like I said, terrific lawyer, knows his stuff. I just think from a campaign perspective, you know, he's getting drowned out by other very good candidates.
Yeah.
Which is not to say he's not a good candidate.
Right.
You know, he may shock us all. You know, and
it's just this is the best of the best at this point, and
yeah,
he's just not standing out. He's just not
right.
He needs something else. Who else is left?
Finally, we got Mark Patrick Flaherty.
Former controller. He ran against Fitz for
county exec.
He also ran against Chelsea to reobtain his controllership, which he failed.
Talk about going up against two giants.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a real David and Goliath.
Well, when he went against Fitz, that was an open seat, so
mm-hmm.
that one made sense.
Yeah.
The one against Chelsea, I mean, I think Allegheny County has finally learned not to go against the Queen.
But with the bull, you're going to get the horns.
Yeah, I think that they finally got it. At the time, maybe I'll give him a benefit of the doubt, thinking that he would do it. I know he had Rich's team behind him, which is always helpful, but he just didn't have it. I personally don't think that, you know, Mark finished 20th on the Democratic side, top 10 on the Republican side. But again, much like Chucky Porter, a little bit more name recognition. I don't see Mark having. I think his team needs to go all in now, and they really have to push forward.
And
his
know
yard
as well
signs
as
are
I,
terrible.
And you know as well as I do, it's tough to flip that switch.
Right.
You know, that's why you and I both agreed that the slow burn, the slow and steady, is
right.
the best way to go about these campaigns.
Well, I think Mark Patrick has a good enough base right now.
His name recognition is big.
Right. If he turns it on now, he has a chance. I'm still going to label him as a dark horse behind Murphy and Kai and Konechka. But I think that if he could turn it on, if that's possible, he can move up in the charts.
And I mean this in no disrespect to Mr. Flaherty.
Mm-hmm.
Long, dedicated career in public service. He's done a number of things in that sector, you know, as controller. I believe he was the solicitor for the State Association of County Controllers. He was their legal counsel. So, I mean, he brings a breadth of experience in tax, local government, municipal finance, things like that. And also in the areas that dovetail out of the controller's office, the minority businesses and the things that both city and county controllers, you know, focus on. Unless you're in that field, that's some boring stuff.
Right.
Like, I hate to say it. Like, I love it because that's, you know, I work in the controller's office. It's what I do on a daily basis. But to the average voter, I'm not sure that captures their attention.
Well, I think, you know, it's more of a popularity contest as far as what he's looking to assume. You know what I mean? Use that name and run
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
But I think that if he does some more work, his team does some more work, then there's an opportunity there. It's not a bright
right.
ray
but
of sunshine.
I think
for him.
If there was a true path for him, and like again, I love his work, you know, throughout municipal government. I really do. You know, his career is a very good one, and the reforms he's instituted, work on, you know, the row office elimination and the home rule charter and all that stuff like that. Excellent, excellent work, and it's very much behind the scenes work, but critical work.
Right.
You would have needed to get out this message because there was an avenue. You
right.
know, you could say a reform person throughout his whole career. You know, I think if you and I were working on that campaign, we would have said Mark Patrick Flaherty has been a guy that's advocated for reform.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, done the dirty work. He's done the boring work to save taxpayers money and always looked out for the little guy, save taxpayers' money. You have to start that message early.
Right.
Because it has to start sinking into people.
Well, I mean, he does.
Because the other messages you're hearing out there that are drowning this out are criminal justice reform, you know, bail reform, things like that. All critical issues as well, but those drown out the stuff that Mark does.
I think you're going in too far with the average voter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basics for a campaign. There's no social media. The website is not that much. So there's when you're breaking this down to the average voter beyond all of that other stuff that you alluded to, I think that they're not getting that message out there. They're not pushing forward.
Going at his website. When you read it, you go, Mark's done a lot, but it's not in the attention grabbing way. It's not in a way that hits you like it should.
Right.
You know, I'm going to take the time to read, you know, not only to prep for this show, but because I want to be an informed voter.
Right.
I'm going to read that and go, you know what? Mark's had a great career. He's done a lot.
Okay? Right.
Maybe there's a place here.
But if you look at some of the other folks' websites and social media as far as them getting out to events and them, you know, plastering their face everywhere, you don't see that from Flaherty.
No,
so
you don't.
I would say that he is a very dark horse.
Very dark, yes.
Yeah. So I think that about wraps it up, Rye.
It does.
So why don't we get into our favorite aspect of the show, and that's our drinks and song. Drinks this morning. So there's an aluminum shortage, and I can't get my Monster Energy drinks anymore, so I've moved to these Rockstar Recoveries lemonade, and they're pretty good. They're a good substitute for what we need. Whereas Ryan is still on the Monster kick. He just doesn't like the Arnold Palmer ones. What kind is that?
I'm a peach guy.
Peach. Okay. So peach
I'm on my
rehab for Ryan.
I had a scoop of pre-workout, which I turned you on to.
Yeah,
on
that pre-workout is some good stuff, except my heartbeat was at 120 beats per minute, which was a little bit ridiculous.
At breakfast.
Yeah, at breakfast. Sitting at breakfast. Not good.
So I had a scoop of pre-workout this morning, and I'm on my second Monster of the day. You know, it's typical for you and I, over-caffeinated, over-stimulated.
Right.
What
do you got for song of the week, my friend?
Well, I got two.
How do you have two every friggin' week?
No, I do not have two every friggin' week. There was multiple shows where I just had one.
Mm-hmm.
So my first one, in honor of us being back to Jamaica, me being back to the promised land, the beautiful land of 31... My people have their leader back. They were like lost sheep without a shepherd. Back to leading that land to the glory it deserves.
Oh, my gosh.
And because of that, I'm doing I'm Back by Jeezy.
I'm back, Mr. Magic City. Blowing color purple, I make it rain on your forehead. Thought I had a fan the way I blow that money. You would have thought I had a plan the way I throw that money.
Great.
With, you know, the little caveat he says at the beginning, sorry for cussing about JPM, but I'm back by Jeezy. And then I'm going to switch gears a little bit off the rap game. I'm going to go number 41 by Dave Matthews Band.
Probably garbage. But anyway, two songs again. Here we go. I have one from Certified Lover Boy featuring Project Pat and 21 Savage. It's
nice.
Called Knife Talk.
Yeah. I heard Poppy outside. And he got the double R, drop it outside. Check the weather and it's getting real, I'll be outside. I'ma drop this shit and have these pussies dropping like some motherfuckers.
It's some good old Drake for you.
Solid pick, man.
Yeah.
Solid pick.
So, that wraps it up for us. We got Judge-A-Rama on the brink. The emails got sent out today. And hopefully we'll have that order for you here very shortly as far as the Democratic nominees that we are going to chat with, discuss their path, their ideas, their background. Some of the folks we're featuring twice, so we're going to get into a little bit of different stuff with them. Then we have Magistrate Madness, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. That'll be coming up as well. And, we got a lot of stuff on the way. We got some special guests that are going to touch in with these folks that we have coming on as well, which will be really cool to have some
Different perspectives.
Some special advisors. We won't call them senior advisors. Special advisors to the pod. So, you got anything else for me, Rye?
I don't, man. I don't.
All right, folks. Well, we'll see you back here next week. Like I said, stay tuned to our social media. It's about to get lit on there with all of the upcoming guests and events that we got going on. Thanks for checking in with us. We're not here.